Hey, Paul.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. So, once again,
Yeah.
I'm going to be doing a chore.
Are you
I'm
still home
gonna.
alone these days?
No, Jennifer and Betty are here.
Okay.
I'm going to pick up some of Betty's room. And
Okay.
I know what you're asking. Why isn't Betty doing it?
I do remember
My
that
answer to you
being.
is,
I do remember that
you
being
make her.
something that I had to do when I was a kid.
That you had to, you had to clean
To pick up my own room.
your room.
Yeah.
Yeah, kids today, Ben, I don't know if you know about this. They're kind of, they write their own ticket, is what I'm going to say. I
That's
wasn't going
ac
to use the S word.
that's that brings up a good point. What is the name of Betty's generation? She's not a millennial. She's too young to be a millennial, I believe.
Hold on. I'm going to, this is going to be, I'm not going to look it up on the internet. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask my wife,
Okay.
Jennifer Pratt, who you know, what is the name of Betty's generation? Have they given it a name yet? No, they haven't.
Ah. Maybe we should come up with one before this podcast. Not today, but
Let's
we'll
do
give
it.
that a challenge. We'll take that on.
We'll figure that out.
Cool. We'll start
So,
a, How was your week?
Well, first of all, Ben, how
Yeah.
was the Bruce Springsteen concert?
It was great. It was so yeah, last a week ago at this very time last week, I was getting in line with about 1,000 other people outside of Key Arena to get
Wow.
into the Bruce Springsteen concert. Now here's what went down. And this is why this concert didn't actually start until like 8:30. But my friend I went with, an old college buddy of mine, bought these tickets for the floor, right? So we didn't have seats. We stood on the middle of Key Arena. But there's this special section that is right in front of the stage. So the way the stage is set up, there's this like, I don't want to call it a VIP area. Let's call it a lottery area because that's what it is. It seats about, or it stands about 400 people, and it is in between the stage and the sort of catwalk that Bruce Springsteen will sometimes come out on.
Oh, you know what? I think I want to say that sometimes in some events they put photographers in that area.
They
Is
sometimes
that possible?
I don't know. You know what? I don't go to a lot of concerts, and so I can't really speak to that
Because,
as an
well,
authority.
back when I was interviewing like musicians and stuff,
Yeah.
I went and interviewed Mute Math,
Oh yeah, Mute
and
Math.
I think we took video of them from the area you're talking about. Like
Yeah,
we weren't allowed to be on stage, but we got into maybe the area that you're talking about.
it's possible, but for this specific concert, they actually so we queued up outside of Key Arena, beginning at they from like whoever knows when it started to 5 o'clock. You had to be in line and have a number by 5. At 5 o'clock, they drew a random number from 1 to 1,000,
Ooh.
so when I got there kind of late, and my number was 917.
917.
My number was 917, and they selected number 307. So from 300, so whoever was 307 to whoever was 747 won. They won the lotto.
Oh.
Those like 440 people got to go and be in that unique, VIP photographer area. And they got to go
Yeah.
in first, and then the rest of us piled in and stood around. So I was basically I so I walked the Key Arena from Annex. I left Annex at 4. The
Yeah.
concert.
Tell people, for the people who don't know, how far
Oh,
that is. Can
it's
you give a general minute?
Capitol Hill to Seattle Center. It was about a half an hour walk. Maybe a little bit more
Yeah,
because
that sounds about
I
right.
had to
Yeah.
stop at the bank to pick up some cash to pay for these tickets. I wasn't really prepared for how expensive they were, but anyway, Yeah, and so we got in. We probably got into the Key Arena around 5:30, maybe 6 o'clock. And my friend Jeff went to go get some beers, and he came back with two 24-ounce cans of Coors Light. And we just stood in the middle of Key Arena drinking our basically double can of light beer. And then he went to go get another round. And by this time, the Key Arena is filling in. 7 o'clock, he comes back with another couple cans of Coors Light. And so about 8:15, 8:30, the show starts. And by this point, I have had 48 ounces of light beer, and I am trapped in the middle of Key Arena. If I leave, I am never getting I'm never finding my way back in, because we're pretty near the front.
Yeah.
I'm about 50 feet from the catwalk. And so, Mofo plays for 4 hours.
Now, you know, and people who don't know this, notoriously, whenever I'm performing, whenever I'm going somewhere, whenever I'm about to do anything, I have to use the restroom.
Yes, yes.
I do that first, obsessively.
No, I did this. I went to the bathroom, right when I got inside the building. To prepare. But still, I mean, I hadn't prepared to stand for 4 hours.
Yeah.
After consumed what equals 4 cans of beer. It was great.
But still, it was great.
Yeah, I've never, just to wrap up my Springsteen experience, he brought Eddie Vedder out. They played for one song. They played the entire The River album, which, I'm not really a Bruce Springsteen aficionado. I don't really know a lot of his stuff, but the dude knows how to throw a concert. I was really impressed.
Well, cool.
And we got out of there about midnight. And by the time the encore started, I'm like, all right, he's gonna play a couple songs and we'll get out of here. No, the encore went off for about an hour and a half. And
speaking about encores,
a
lot of this podcast is gonna be me backtracking or clarifying or things like that.
That's cool.
You and I, right?
Yeah.
We liked Soul Coughing a lot, but we really enjoyed watching Mike Dobby's solo stuff.
Yeah.
Whenever he would come to Seattle, we'd try to get a chance to see him.
Yeah, we would go to all of his shows.
And the thing that I liked, one of the things that I liked a lot, was how he was very upfront about stuff like that. Okay, now I'm going to go pretend to leave, and then I'm going to come back.
Yes, I'm going to go stand over there for a minute. And you guys clap
then,
and applaud
and we'll
again.
Back and,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So don't get me wrong. I think he's great. Just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah.
In case, as you know, our one listener, Mike, he starts listening, he gets to that point, and he gets all sad.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I thought Paul maybe would understand that sometimes you get mad.
That was my Bruce Springsteen concert experience. That was on Thursday. On Friday, I went to the Bernie Sanders rally at Safeco Field.
Oh, how was that? Did he play all of his original stuff, or was there a lot of
play for full? I was hoping for some classics, from amendment to the legislation, bill number 4150 from 1972. That's what really everybody wanted. But no, he kept playing his new stuff. I'm gonna make healthcare free for all, and I'm gonna give everybody free tuition. Nobody wants that.
Yeah,
they want to hear that. They want to hear his classic things. I'm joking. It was really cool, and I had a lot of it was a good time.
I don't know. Did I talk about this already? About people? Yeah, I did. I think people who think they're gonna be rich at some point in time.
I believe that's
where
how
they're like
Republicans base their policies.
I don't want to pay for this person's health care.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay for somebody else's health care. I can't even pay for my health care.
Right.
Right. So if everybody pays for everybody's health care, then everyone's going to get help. That doesn't add up. I don't understand. People are so rich.
Well, and that's...
There are people who are so rich.
Yeah.
So I want to point out something else
about
people being so rich. This is the thing about... I think this is the thing about royalty in general,
okay,
right? The royal wedding. In order for there to be a royal wedding, like a super, like, humongous, crazy royal wedding, you have to have royal people. You know what I mean? In order
Makes
to
sense.
Have a manned mission to Mars, or what would you call
you
it?
You have to have men?
An astronauted, a... What do they call it now? They don't
Wait,
call
what?
It manned anymore. What do they call it when a mission is occupied by people? There's a
manned.
Term for it now.
It's manned.
No, they don't call it manned anymore.
There's human? Is this some sort of gender neutral thing now? That
yeah, I wish I didn't have
person
no Google
occupied.
While talking to you rule.
Occupy Mars.
Staff? Maybe I don't remember.
But
in order for anyone to go to the moon, right?
Yeah.
Someone who isn't you has to go to the moon. You have to spend all this money and all this, you know, you have to put all this effort behind someone that isn't you.
Yeah.
And it's one of these things of like, well, do you want there to be pageantry and you know, crazy excess stuff? And this is the whole thing about theater, right?
Yeah.
Someone has to play Hamlet. And if you want there to be Hamlet, you have to have the actor cast as Hamlet. Everyone can't be Hamlet. It doesn't work that way.
I don't know. I was in a college production of Hamlet where they had four of them.
Oh, well, see, there you go. At least four people can be Hamlet.
It's a concept.
But it's the same way with like, you know, directors in theater. If you have a company, not everyone gets to be the director every time.
Yeah.
You get someone to be the director, and you know maybe they're good at it, and then they get to do it again, or they fail spectacularly. Everyone ends up not liking them. They stop being the director, and then everyone is kind of okay to them eventually after they get over the fact that they were a complete jerk. That's sort of the way I look at you know, royalty in general. Like, we put a human being up on a pedestal so that they can do stuff that not all of us can do because not everyone can do the thing.
Are you talking about royalty specifically in terms of they can do stuff? Because I'm not quite sure what all the royals do aside from just being figureheads.
I'm talking about, well, this is exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, I'm sure maybe they do something.
I mean, I understand that as an allegory, and you're talking about
I'm using it as an example.
Yeah.
But you know, you throw in celebrities or whoever. A lot of times I think that once someone becomes like incredibly famous, people don't like them anymore. And it's not necessarily jealousy, but it is this, I mean, there's this idea of equality, you know, in all things.
Yeah.
I for one believe in equality for like goods and services and, you know, like, and this is why healthcare for all is, in my opinion, a super idea.
Yeah.
Right. I would like it so that everyone gets adequate health care. I don't think that should be, like, something that you have figureheads or, oh, look at that guy who gets to have cancer treatment.
Right.
I can look at them and I can imagine what it would be like if I got cancer treatment. That's
right.
Not great. But I do think that when it's prestige stuff, when it's, you know, star quarterback, whatever. Okay, you know, we all can't be star quarterback. Let them do their thing. And again, it goes back to when you're famous, when you become famous, you realize that it kind of sucks sometimes. you know, because you aren't allowed to be just a generally rotten person on a certain day. Because the minute you're a generally rotten person, everyone finds out about it.
I know. That's the great thing about not being famous, is I can be a jerk to somebody on the street randomly and it doesn't make the papers. Not that I'm ever a random jerk to somebody on the street, but...
Yeah. Well, but it makes you go back to what I think of Paula Tompkins, right?
Yeah.
How every time that I ran into him, even when, you know, I wasn't necessarily on my best behavior, he was a charming gentleman, and how that's, you know, part of the thing that he understands, I guess, about when you're a famous person.
Right. And it's, I mean, I'm not...
And I'm sure...
That's got to be hard.
Someone out there has a... Yeah. But again, Mike Dowdy, another example. Always pleasant, even when I jumped onto the stage during his performance.
Yep.
Now, granted, he wasn't playing at the time.
No.
He had read something he had read a question where I said, would you write a theme song for my book? And he said, well, I don't have your book. Was like, okay, well, I'm going to give him my book then. Because he's basically asked me to do it. He didn't. There was absolutely no way that one could interpret that as him asking me to do that.
Yeah.
But I did, and he was surprisingly cool about it.
Yeah, I mean, and we talked to him afterwards because we got in line to have him sign autographs, and he did admit that you frightened him.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, dude, I had no idea what was going to happen. And can I tell you the truth, Ben? I didn't have any idea either. It all turned out okay, though. So Betty has these socks based on an anime called Attack on Titan.
Oh, yeah, Attack on Titan.
She has these Attack on Titan socks. They're great. But I only found one of them while I was cleaning her room. So,
Have you seen the trailer for the movie?
Yes, I have. Isn't that crazy?
You sound like you're not thrilled. I know people who are super pumped for this movie.
Here's the thing. I am aware that Betty may not be ready to see a live action version of it.
Uh-huh.
She likes the cartoon.
Yeah.
But it's possible that live action is... So it is going to be cool. I'm just not sure how much behind it I should be at this point. You know what I mean? Like I don't want to get excited about it yet because I don't know if I'm going to see it. So. It looks cool, though, and we will find out.
Yeah.
How it is.
Do you do that parent thing where you go watch a movie before you bring your kid to it? So you end up watching movies twice?
No, not when it's in the theater. When it's in the theater, I have to make a guess.
Yeah,
right?
Judgment call.
I do that on like Netflix and stuff like that, where I'll watch it. I didn't always, but then after a couple of, you know...
Incidents?
Mistakes on my part. Yeah, exactly. Then I eventually ended up doing it. Because, yeah, it's kind of important, I think. Jennifer, who you've met, my wife, is...
You're going to say that every time you mention her?
Yeah, right. I do. She also notes that I always say my friend Ben when I'm talking about you. But Jennifer is... you know, not a shy person necessarily. She's pretty open about things.
Quite forward, I must say.
Sometimes that we, and when I say we, I mean, you know, me and Jennifer and Betty, we'll be watching something. And Jennifer's rule is basically this. If you, meaning me,
yeah,
are willing to explain to her any of the questions she has about this thing, then you can watch it. So for the longest time, you know, I would, as violent as something would be, that would be fine. But if it was at all like double entendre, things like that, I would shy away from it. But because, you know, well, obviously, honey, that man has smashed in that other man's face with a fire extinguisher. We did not see that. I was just trying to think of an example.
Is that French film starring Vincent Cassel? Is that what movie you're talking about?
Irreversible.
Irreversible, that's it, yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to think of what the worst possible movie to watch as a child is. But in the same way, the phenomenon of That's What She Said really took hold of her. And then eventually she had the talk, and now she does That's What She Said every once in a while. Oh, by the way, I have to fill this out. My friend's daughter, who is, I believe, a sixth grader now.
Okay.
We were all bowling together.
Sounds
fun. And
fine.
I heard the best That's What She Said, because there were only four people bowling at the time, but for some reason another one got returned, right?
Oh, right.
And I said, and then this exchange happened, how did we get five balls? That's what she said. And I was pretty happy that she came up with that, because
a sixth grader.
But it only sort of works. You know what I mean? There's enough wrong with it that it's like, oh, that's good. Hey, wait.
Yeah.
Now it's, yeah.
It's just exactly. Weird enough.
Good stuff. Let's see. So what else?
I had a birthday party on Saturday, which...
Hey, happy birthday.
You would have come to if you were in town. I didn't have,
I would have.
A 10-year-old.
You're right.
No,
I would have brought her.
We played video games. It would have been okay.
Yeah, exactly. Even if you didn't want me to. She
hey, fun. Paul! Hello! Yeah. And then last night, we had the premiere of... the fourth episode of The Panel Jumper, subtitled An Odd Duck. It was a, we had a small gathering at 12th Avenue Arts as part of a MAC Theater display day.
Finally, the Howard the Duck one?
Yeah.
Something else.
It is the Howard the
Duck
one.
Because I know Cole was looking to do the Howard the Duck one for a while.
Yeah, I finally finished it. And so it's going to be...
Oh, and that wasn't a slam on your the time it takes you to edit something.
No, it took a long time just so that things got in the way. But it's going to be online next week. So Friday.
Cool. Well, watch that. You know, this is a true story. There's a guy, I think his name is Chris Gay, I want to say. I don't know how it's spelled, but I think that's how it's pronounced.
Okay.
Who went to Edwardsville High School, who I met... because he came back, who worked on the head of Howard the Duck.
Oh,
does
really?
That make sense? Like, yeah, made it for, yeah, because he worked for Lucasfilm. Yeah. I think he controlled Slimer's tongue at one point in time.
it's a claim to fame right there.
But he also worked on Lost Boys, and he brought with him, when he came to talk to our art class, he brought with him this giant, well, not this giant, this regular, you know, life size, I guess I would say, orange foam head of Alex Winter.
Was it Alex Winter in Lost Boys?
He was in Lost Boys. He was one of the guys in Lost Boys.
I haven't seen that. The only time I've ever seen Lost Boys is when I went to it when it was still playing in the theaters, and I was like 9, and it totally scared me.
Oh, well, yeah, it's a scary film. But the big thing is that, that I then used that orange head and a trench coat to become someone named the Master of Video in the first video sketch thing I ever did.
Oh, yeah?
With my friend Andy, who I didn't really know at the time that we did it, because we were in high school. He was a friend of a friend, right?
Is this?
And now we're like super friends.
Yeah,
and we live in the town where we filmed that thing.
Is this online somewhere?
No, it's not, because... He actually thinks that I have a copy of it, and I think he has a copy of it, but neither of us have a copy of it, it seems like. Which is one of those things of maybe it's better.
Well, then, I don't believe that it exists.
Oh,
if I can't link to it, it doesn't exist.
Dang it. Ben, could you do me a favor? Could you beep out to keep our 100% swear-free rating?
Oh, what did you say? I didn't.
I said, damn it. And now I said it twice.
I think damn it's fine. I think if you can say damn it on, it. If you can say it on, if, like, primetime TV.
Bob Odenkirk can say it.
Damn it!
Yeah. Oh, man.
We try to keep the Perfect Pound podcast clean, but every once in a while somebody will say damn or hell or poop. And I'm like,
yeah,
I think it's fine.
Well, you know, what can you do?
As long as you're willing to explain to Betty what those words
mean. Yeah, exactly. Well, oh, you know, and I have to say, I went to a parochial school, so there's a lot of religion stuff.
Yeah.
And there was a thing about swearing, right? And our teacher said, if you hit your thumb with a hammer and you say, damn it, what you're saying is, God, take my thumb and send it to hell. And I raised my hand, and I was like, I think you're actually saying it about the hammer.
Did she send you to the principal's office?
I did go to the principal's office for religious interpretation several times.
Yeah.
Because religious misinterpretation? What's that? No. I was correct. This is the thing. In all the cases, it was one of those things where I got sent to the principal's office because I was showing up the teacher matters of faith.
Well, adults.
Sure, I was going to be the pastor. It was all ready to go. And then there's this thing where I was like, you know, I don't know if I agree with everything that's happening here.
Adults don't like it when children question them.
And that was pretty much it, yeah. Exactly. You're not supposed to do that. Betty was shouting something at me. Betty, what were you shouting?
Was she shouting it at you?
I want a popsicle!
She wants a popsicle.
Yeah. She wishes we had popsicles.
I kind of wish you had popsicles, too. I kind of want one. It's a really nice day here in Seattle today. It's remarkably warm.
It was actually kind of warm here, too. It was like in the 70s.
I walked to work today without wearing a jacket.
What?
I know, right?
I drove to work today without wearing a jacket.
It's crazy.
Normally, I do wear a jacket in the car.
Yeah.
Do you know why?
Because your heater's broken?
Always prepared. It's the same reason why I used to go fall asleep wearing a jumpsuit with my passport in the pocket.
I remember that phase.
Yes. It's just in case. You never know.
Yeah. I think I spoke over you, though. Why did you wear a jumpsuit with your passport in it when you went to bed?
Do you want the real answer?
How many answers are there?
Well, the answer where I seem like a normal person is just because I thought it was interesting.
That's not what you told me when you were doing it.
No. The real reason was at the time I was concerned that I may teleport while sleeping.
Yeah.
And I had no idea where I would be going, so I wanted to make sure that I had at least my passport.
So you thought that you would teleport someplace where your passport would come in handy and not, say, like a weapon would help better?
Excuse me.
Salud.
One more.
Bless you. Hang on. All right, that's three. You're done. Four.
No.
Disqualified. Sorry.
So, but I was worried in this situation that there would be a dream that was so real that I would go to another country, kind of. Like, it's hard to describe, but the basic idea that I had was that if you experienced something that was, like, if you thought that you were somewhere else, hard enough, then maybe you would actually end up there. It's sort of a similar idea that maybe, like, if something has the exact same floor plan as something else, you can trick yourself into switching to that place. So, like, a McDonald's in Pittsburgh and a McDonald's in Hawaii have the same exact floor plan.
Well, that would be confusing because every single McDonald's looks alike.
They all look alike, but if they were exactly the same.
Oh, I'm in Pittsburgh? I thought I was going to go to Hawaii.
Exactly.
Damn it.
Or the other way around. why am I going to Hawaii? I have a meeting in Pittsburgh in 2 hours. Yeah, that's possible. And then you can't get back to the bathroom because now there's somebody in the other stall, which, you know, makes them dissimilar enough that you can't. But, you know, that's probably not true. I'm not too worried about it anymore. As you get older, you realize that reality is, you know, malleable, sure, but it tends to reform itself pretty well.
There are certain rules of physics that we must all abide by.
Exactly. And the first one being, if you go into a McDonald's in one city, you'll emerge from that same McDonald's, probably, you know, the cities of Pittsburgh and Hawaii.
A buddy of mine,
what I would say,
rented a house in Kirkland. We were in our mid-20s, you know, after college, and he was getting a career at Microsoft. And I went over to his house a couple times, and the thing was, it was the exact same floor plan as the house he grew up in.
Oh, wow.
And so when I would walk into this house in Kirkland, in this cul-de-sac, it felt...
Where did he grow up?
Olympia, Washington.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
It felt like walking into his parents' house, essentially, in Olympia, Washington. It even smelled the same. And so
that is crazy.
And it was so trippy because, like, I would go to his house and we would, like, play poker or something or video games. And then I would leave. And at first I would be a little disoriented because I would expect to emerge out into a cul-de-sac in Olympia, Washington. But instead I'm in some strange neighborhood in Kirkland.
That is so odd. But it is exactly the phenomenon that I was thinking would sort of happen.
But a passport would not have helped me. Because you don't need a passport to get out of Kirkland.
Not yet, anyway.
Not Ooh, yet.
Thanks, Obama. No, I'm kidding. What? How does that make any sense?
Trump's going to build a wall around Kirkland.
Here's the thing. My daughter, Betty,
who I've met,
10 years old,
yeah,
able to make microwave popcorn now.
Neat.
Pretty good at it. She's making microwave popcorn now. There is an almost full bag of microwave popcorn on the counter.
Well, here's my question. Does your microwave have a popcorn button?
It does not have a popcorn button. She looks at the number and kind of goes from there.
Gotcha.
You know, if it says recommended, you know, 3, whatever.
Yeah.
And she just, you know, it's actually pretty easy to make microwave popcorn if you only eat, you know, a couple handfuls of it at a time.
Yeah. I got to say, I used to make microwave popcorn a lot. I really liked it. But I've stopped, and I have changed my popcorn habits where I just buy the bags of pre-pop popcorns. Alton Brown would hate me for this. But that's what I do.
Oh, wow.
Because microwave popcorn bags... Well, A of all, I don't have a microwave, and so that's one thing. But also, yeah,
I don't even own a microwave.
It makes your house smell like popcorn for like the rest of the day.
It does. And oh man, Lord forbid you work in an office where someone burns popcorn on a regular basis.
Oh geez, that happened all the time when I worked for that Microsoft co-founder in the building next to the building you worked at.
I have another issue with people who, microwave tuna at work. What is the deal? Why?
Do people How really come? Do that? Come on.
Yes. Yes. What kind of a monster,
Don't
Ben?
You know you're supposed to sear your tuna first before you microwave it?
Yeah. Exactly. Hey, I'm not going to get too too personal with this, but
good.
A funny thing. There's a person who maybe works in the same office that I work in.
Yeah.
Who is maybe going to work for a secret organization.
The Illuminati?
They're not secret necessary, but no. Just a government organization.
Well,
don't throw out names. I'm trying to figure out which one. Just assume that it's an acronym of some sort, you know, and people who work at it are seen as being, you know, spy types, whatever.
NASA. It's
and
NASA,
going,
isn't it?
God, I told you not to guess.
We're spying on the moon.
The he's going around telling people that he's working for them, which I think is not
Wait, what?
Like, I'm worried that he's going to get it. I just got a new job with, and then insert agency name here. And I'm thinking, maybe that's not what they want you to do.
World's worst spy.
Yeah, well, but I would be the world's worst spy, as we've already established. I think I've mentioned this to you before.
How would you be the world's worst spy?
Well, as an example, and I do this a lot, so if you've met me before, you're going to know, oh, he's gearing up to do this thing. Hey, boss, by the way, I found out that stuff you wanted to know. The Argentinians or the Armenians, one of the two. It's an A-A-R, Argentine, or Armenian, I don't know. But there's a boat thing that's happening. Like, either they have a boat or they're going to get one, or, like, they found one. But anyway, everyone's super mad about it for some reason. And I might have told them that I work for you. Anyway, they're not talking to me anymore, and I was wondering if I'd come in from being undercover. Which, by the way, I don't think was a good idea, because I don't speak their language.
It's a little man who knew too little right there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. That was a good thing. Wasn't it?
I think by being the worst spy, you will, by consequence, be the best spy, because everybody expects, everybody thinks you're pulling the wool over their eyes.
I, the man with one red shoe, another example.
Where's that other red shoe? Nobody knows.
The other red shoe is going to drop. You know, that was based on a French film, actually.
That was what?
The man with one red shoe, starring Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Was based on a French film called, I think it was called The Tall Blonde Man with One Black Shoe. Or something of that nature.
And they just had to make it pretty a red good. Shoe.
Yeah.
Have I seen that? I don't
know.
And
they had to cast Dabney Coleman. Why wouldn't you cast Dabney Coleman, though? He's great. In that, I think.
Yeah.
It will turn out pretty well.
Like me some Alright,
so I think I've spent as much time as I want to in that room for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's very dusty and sort of crappy.
Is it clean? So is it straightened up, or did you just throw everything underneath the bed?
I threw everything into a couple of boxes.
Yeah.
Now I'm going outside because it's sort of warm right now.
So it's about 10 after 7 now over there. Is it still pleasant outside? You know,
it's still pretty pleasant. It's a little cool.
Sit out on your porch with some iced tea and, you know.
What's that? 73 degrees. Jennifer says it was 73 degrees today.
Wow.
Mm. Oh, hey, I'm going to pick up Abby for a second. Here's my cat, Abby. Is
she going to scratch you?
Abby, say hi to Ben. Meow. Abby, say hi to Ben. Meow. Can you say hi?
I can't.
Say hi? No, she's not doing it.
Cats are jerks, and so they don't talk when you want them to.
Normally she gets upset. Oh, here, Jennifer's gonna pick her up now.
Can't hear anything.
Oh my god, she's purring. You didn't help her.
Yeah.
I did that thing. Right, I'm trying to listen more closely, and I'm wearing headphones to hear you, and I realized that when I was trying to hear you more closely, I leaned in towards my microphone. I don't know, habit, I guess. Why would that be a habit?
I'm walking into the backyard. I don't know what you can hear from it.
I can't hear anything except you talking.
All right. So
you won't stop talking.
Here's a. I'm going to make a confession, Ben.
Uh oh.
I was making that tea, the kombucha tea.
Yeah.
With a SCOBY in a jar. A SCOBY is a symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast.
Okay.
And then I decided I didn't want to make it anymore because it was starting to attract fruit flies.
Never a good
and
thing.
And so I threw it into the woods behind my house.
The woods where they do illegal cement dumping?
Well, the cement dumping is not necessarily illegal. It's it might be sanctioned by the city. Ooh, I was going to walk down there, but I look and see if I could see some of it, but it's wet because it's been raining for a while, so I don't want to get too muddy.
Yeah, no, you don't want to step into wet cement.
Yeah, my garage has a hole.
Well, that's how you get your car in.
It used to be a window. Oh. The window came out, and somehow
congratulations
the glass
to
the window. Ended up inside. It was sitting on the outside, too big to fit through the hole, but it ended up inside somehow. Either an elf or a homeless guy, and really, what's the difference? Put glass into the garage.
Has anybody ever seen an elf's house? I mean, come on, let's get real.
Yeah, exactly. Elves don't have houses.
They live in trees.
This idea that I think would be cool of people keeping elves as pets. It's like, oh, the elf is going crazy. He's taking his little knife and just stabbing the sheets all the time.
Bad elf.
Did you give it a quest? What? Yeah, you have to give it a quest. If it doesn't have a quest, it goes crazy. You don't want a bored elf on your hand.
Typical newbie elf user.
Yeah, exactly. So Betty was playing Unravel for a little bit. It's a video game where you're a little yarn guy.
Okay.
It's pretty cool for the PS4. Hey, speaking about PS4, what kind of game system do you have right now?
I have a first-gen Nintendo Wii.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
That is your gaming system?
That is my gaming system. And I don't really play anything. I mean, I brought it to Annex on Saturday. We hooked up Rock Band and
Rock Band, that's right.
Yeah, which I still enjoy. It's kind of passe these days, but I still enjoy playing it. I got some zombie shooting games that I'm not very good at. I got Mario Kart. I like Mario Kart. I hear Ghost.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I heard that Ghostbusters for the Nintendo, I think it's also like a PS3 game and probably an Xbox 360.
I remember that game. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the original four voice actors do the voices in the game. And Dan Aykroyd, I can't remember where I read this, like Deadspin or something. Dan Aykroyd says that he considers the Ghostbusters video game to be basically the third movie.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I remember reading that too, actually.
Yeah, so.
In fact, maybe I didn't read it. Maybe you read it and you told me.
It's possible. It's possible I'm repeating myself here in episode 7.
No. I think maybe even when we were still in the same city.
Gotcha. So, there's a GameStop, which I think GameStop's a terrible store, but there's one down the street here. I may go and see if I can find a used copy.
GameStop, a terrible store by Ben Lawrence.
Yep. My thesis. My doctoral thesis.
Actually, you know what? GameStop, if you're listening, that's actually a great plug. He thinks you're terrible, but still goes and gets stuff from you.
I'd like to say goodbye to all of our GameStop sponsors. This podcast now only sponsored by who's their competition?
Well, here in Evansville, Illinois, Slackers is where I go to get all of my used game stuff.
Slackers, are you talking about video games or board games or both?
Slackers is video games, they have board games. They also have DVDs.
Yeah.
When we first moved here with only the generous grants from our friends and family to guide us. Shout out to Stephen McCandless, keeping me from dying several times in his life.
He used to be an EMT.
Yes, but that's not the reason. It's support. He supports people in the arts. And also, you know, it's funny. For someone who has a reputation of being somewhat grim in his outlooks in certain times, he has also made me feel good about myself several times. So, you know,
yeah, well,
kudos to him.
this warm moment brought to you by Slackers.
Exactly. We sold a lot of our stuff. That
you mean all that stuff
shipped to us?
I went through to collect from your house and ship to you. You just turned around and sold?
Not all of it. Most of it we still have, but we sold a lot of it. And how can we sell a lot of it and still have most of it? Well, it's like this, Ben. A billion people, you take 1% of that, that's still a lot of people. Same sort of deal.
You had a lot of stuff, and we also got rid of a lot of stuff. You probably still have a lot of stuff.
The big thing is, when we got the PS4, none of the PS3 games worked anymore.
Well, that sucks.
So, yeah, exactly. That's backwards compatible. Nope.
Yeah. I'm not, you know, I'm a Nintendo person. I've had a Nintendo since I was, like, in the sixth grade or whatever.
That's cool.
And so there are, like, Ford people, there are Chevy people, there's Nintendo people, there's Xbox people, and PS people. I think, you know, I'm sure it's, like, you know, people can go both ways. But,
well, I mean, Jennifer is a big PlayStation person. Yeah. And I am, by extension, also a big PlayStation person, because we're not buying more than one. I have actually, just through osmosis, I have brand loyalty to Sony now. It's pretty crazy.
Oh, good for you. I got brand loyalty to Nintendo, and so.
I still think Kestra should be able to fire her manager or whatever. Not her manager.
Wait,
her producer.
That come from? Oh, Sony. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was wondering where that thread came from. Yeah, I agree with you.
Well, I said I'm a big Sony supporter.
I think,
not everything.
I think a judge ruled against the original ruling, and she has been able to get out of the contract anyway.
Oh, yay.
Maybe. Good. I think I saw that.
Good, perhaps, if we're at all correct.
Yes. But the Wii U never appealed to me. I saw it when it came out, and I'm like, mm-hmm. Whatever. I'll keep my original Wii. There's going to be a new Nintendo game system, I think, coming out in 2017. I think it's called
To be 3D? Not 3D, but virtual reality.
I don't know.
3D immersive.
Like, I don't think your Oculus Rift will be able to work with your Nintendo MX or whatever they're calling it. No.
Because this is what I'm thinking.
What are you thinking?
What I would like to see is them, Nintendo, make... Because Nintendo is an innovator.
They are.
In many ways. And I would love to see them make their virtual machine.
I think...
You know, that. So...
So here's the thing. If they created a game system and it came with, say, a pair of goggles, right? So it's a fully immersive game. Just imagine how many, like, bookcases and table lamps are going to get knocked off the coffee table when people are flailing around with their Wiimote tennis racket. But that's beside the point. If I am able to play the games that I already bought, this system, if I can play original Nintendo Wii games, I won't be able to. But if I can, then I may consider getting one. If not, it's going to be a hard choice.
Well, here's the thing. There is going to be a 3D immersive thing for the PS4 coming out quite soon. I think in October, maybe.
Oh, really?
And I am very interested. But here's something that I'm thinking about. You remember that I got LASIK.
Yes, you did.
I used to be severely nearsighted. Now I can read very well as long as it's about, you know, maybe 6 inches away from my face. It's not bad at all. But if it's right up close to me, I can't see anymore. I used to be able to see.
Is it
like I could put something right up to my eye and focus on it? I can't do it now.
Is it regressing? Is your LASIK regressing?
Oh, no. What I'm saying is that in fixing my vision, right?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is I used to be super nearsighted.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Like, almost superhumanly nearsighted. Like, I could focus on something when it was, like, near millimeters away from my eye.
Right up against your face.
I could still see it clearly.
Yeah.
But now I can't. And so I'm wondering about if this, you know, 3D...
It's
this 3D PS4 thing, if I get that, will I have a problem seeing it because everything will be blurry because it's too close to my face?
I don't know. I think you'll just have to wait for the adaptive contact lenses.
No. See, no more things in my eyes. No, thank you. Because I have those. I'm done with it. That's it.
3D contact lenses, Paul. 3D contact lenses.
3D. They're all contact lenses are 3D, man.
It's 3D printed contact lenses. Ow, ow, ow.
This is not good. Actually, I am thinking about that. That when Betty is in high school or whatever, 3D body modification or whatever is probably something that she's going to end up doing. There she is, sitting on the couch eating popcorn.
In 7 years,
3D
printed body mods.
Just think, in 8 years, right? This freaks me out, but in 8 years, she will be 18 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I will be 50 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. 8 years, man.
I think you being 50 is more disconcerting to me than your daughter being 18.
I'm just saying Trump will be at the end of his second term. I hate to keep bringing it back to that. I'm just trying to get my brain ready, just in case it happens.
No, man, that's not the worst thing. President Trump is going to be terrible, don't get me wrong, but a President Cruz is going to be worse.
You know what? I am, and when President Trump happens, and it's all going to suck, you know, we'll play this and go, oh boy, I don't know anymore. But I think it'll still be, because he's got, I don't know, he's got a darkness to him. There's a dark energy around Cruz.
Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, Trump's the Zodiac Trump's killer, just, apparently.
Look, they just haven't, they've never proved that he wasn't. That's what they're saying, basically.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think I told you before, at one point in time, while I was still working at Amazon.com, I had a dream that Jeff Bezos was sitting on a statue of himself that was painted gold and smacking its bare ass. And I woke up and I was like, I don't know what this is. But I probably just had a prophetic dream of some kind. And I should probably tell Jeff Bezos about it. And I won't understand it, but he will, much like, you know, what was it, Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible, Ben? You know. But anyway, this is the point, is that I have waking visions of Ted Cruz in, like, you remember the famous painting, The Blue Boy?
I don't know the names of paintings. What did it describe?
Look up The Blue Boy, and you'll see. But I have these images of him dressed in, like, these little frilly Victorian-era little boy outfits.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Like, waking visions of them. And I don't know what they mean, but it's again, the universe trying to tell me something. Each time...
You see Jeff Bezos as the Blue Boy?
No. Ted Cruz.
Oh, Ted Cruz. Okay.
I have these images, these waking images of him dressed in these, like, weird little boy Victorian outfits. And, like, his hair is gelled down to, like, a little curl in front of his forehead.
I'm going to Photoshop Ted Cruz's face on the Blue Boy painting, and that'll be the image for this podcast.
Okay, a little curl on his foot. But yeah.
Like this Superman Jerry curl?
Yeah, exactly. I have, you know, as we've documented this, I have some minor forms of mental illness, right? And I'm aware...
Medication for that, I believe.
I do not take medication anymore.
Oh, okay.
Now I sleep and eat right and get minor amounts of exercise. And it seems to work for me.
Okay.
I don't have, you know, there's no auditory hallucination stuff happening. The obsessive thoughts, and this is where I'm getting to, the obsessive thoughts are few and far between now, but one of the things are these weird images of people, of famous people normally. And they aren't fantasies. They're not something I'm like, I wonder what that would look like. It's just, hey, here's an image. It won't go away now.
Right.
You know, like, it's like an earworm, basically. Yeah. Except for it's in the mind's eye of thinking of something over and over again. So that's interesting. If you were president, I don't think I'd be able to stand it. It would go. It would become too much. You know, because it's only when I'm reminded that he exists normally that it happens. So.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, and the big thing. This is, and I think we talked about this before. I'm not a Trump fan, but all of his criticisms about Ted Cruz's campaign practices are legitimate. You know, this is something that is happening, and you know.
Well, Trump is not persistent with anything else except for things attacking him. You know, he's.
Yes. He wouldn't care.
He's focused on number one. And if he thinks he's being slighted, he holds a grudge, apparently.
I can see
where, you know, a reality plays out where Clinton gets the nod for the Democratic side. Trump, oddly enough, gets the nod for the Republican side. It's a close race, a really close general election.
Mm-hmm.
Just the two of them. Hillary pulls it, squeaks out a win in the very end. It's 2001 all over again. And Trump will still not go away. He starts suing the federal government. He does not go away.
Oh, I could actually see that happening, yes.
Yeah.
I think I told you before that I remember the moment that he got serious about running for president. When he was slighted at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and they made fun of him for running. And there was just this look on his face.
Do we have Seth Meyers to blame for President Trump?
I think was it Seth Meyers at the time? I don't know if it was.
At one point.
Okay, because everyone was laughing.
Yeah.
Except for Donald Trump, who had just this straight on.
Well. Yeah, that might have been the same year when Seth Meyers hosted, and he just blasted Donald Trump. But Obama ripped into him as well.
I think Obama said Donald Trump is here. Why or something like that? Like it was something. Well, find it, Ben. Find it and tell me what it is next time.
Is that my homework?
That's your homework. Okay. Tell me which one it was. And you'll know it because you'll go, hey, Paul was right. That look on his face, that's him going, all right, then.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this. That wasn't an impression, by the way. I don't have an impression of him.
Of Obama?
Trump. That was my Obama. That was my Obama impression. Let me see if I can do it again. Get ready for my stellar Obama impression. That's it.
Hey, everybody, I'm President Obama.
No, I'm not doing it. When Betty was really little and Barack Obama was running for president, she would say, Barack Obama, like that. It was great. It was like the What's Up Guys, except Barack Obama's name.
Yeah.
Oh,
I remember the What's Up Guys.
Yeah. That's something, you know, I feel sorry for people who don't know that. Same thing, Where's the Beef? Some people don't know what that is. Too bad for you guys. Commercials are, in general, an art form. Oh, hey, look at that. It's 7:28.
Yeah.
Shout at Betty. Hey, Betty!
1 minute left.
Are you interested in talking at all?
Yes.
Has it died off for her yet? Lost its allure.
I don't know.
You're gonna make me talk to your child again.
Yeah, yeah.
All right,
here,
great.
Here, hold on. Oh no! The video game's happening.
What's going on? Is everybody safe?
Yeah. What is it?
Hey, Betty, how's it going?
It's going good, Mister.
Okay, well, sorry, I missed that.
You. Sit for a minute. You got to talk into this thing. Oh, wait. Ben, this is unprecedented. I'm going to hand her the microphone.
Oh, God.
And I won't be able to hear you. So say, give me back to your dad whenever you're done talking to him.
Okay.
So, how are your things doing?
My things are doing great. How are your things?
They're doing good, too.
Good.
Got any questions?
Sure, I have a question. When your dad said that when you were a kid, you would yell Obama's name, President Obama's name, in the style of the What's Up Guys. So yeah, that's what I was looking for. Give it to me one more time.
Barack Obama!
All right. So hey, do you have anything you want to say to me? Apparently not. Okay.
Do you have a child yet?
No, but if I ever do, you'll be the first to find out about it.
Okay.
All right. Let me talk to your dad now.
Okay.
Bye.
So did you ask her if she had any questions for you?
I did. Wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, no. I think here's what it is. Her friend Zizou is my friend Andy's daughter.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think she's pretty much convinced that the coolest people are children of my friends, which is pretty much true. But yeah.
I do know a few people who are having kids.
Wait, do you?
Yeah. Max Reichlin. You remember Max?
Max
was the technical director of Annex for a while. He and his lovely bride just had a baby yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, Max is the one, didn't he make was he the one who made the power? I'm making bicycle motions with my hands right now.
Yeah, he made power generators to provide all the power for a play.
Yes, that was pretty cool. Well, congratulations to them.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, cool. All
right. Hey,
Paul, it's been fun talking to you this week.
Yeah, Ben, it's been fun talking to you this week, too. Thanks for catching up. I appreciate it.
Indeed. And
the room is pretty clean, I guess. So, you know, mission accomplished.
All right. So maybe that's our new sign-off. The room is clean.
The room is clean. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Did you ever see The Conversation?
No.
Oh, check it out, Ben.
Is it on Netflix?
Conversation. It might be on Netflix.
All right, I'll check it
out. Gene Hackman. Yep, all right. I'll talk to you more later.
All right, talk to you next week.
Have a good night.
You too.
Yep, talk to you next week.
All right, bye.